Welcome all of you to worship this day. I'm happy to be with you. Again, I'm Pastor Bart Miller. I work at St. Paul Lutheran High School, and I'm glad to be with you today as we celebrate the Lord's Supper with the order of worship on page 184. A reminder that next Sunday, Pablo Ministries will be here to both lead your worship and also make a presentation during the Bible class hour. And we encourage all of you to come. They have Christian ministry to the Muslim world, and they have a very interesting and very important work, not only in our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but in our world. And I hope you come and find more out about what they do. We'll have Bible class today. I'll lead Bible class after the worship service today. I hope you'll come. And also, especially in our prayers today, we remember the family of Darren Woodall, who passed away on Friday. Darren was a good personal friend of mine, as well as a friend of many of yours and a friend of the Sweet Springs community. His visitation will be tomorrow at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Concordia from 4 to 7. And the funeral service is at 10:30 on Tuesday morning at St. Paul Lutheran Church. And we ask God to be with his family as they go through this time and the community and friends as well. And now we come to God with our sins. We ask for his good word of forgiveness. We receive that forgiveness both through his word and through the Lord's Supper this day. And we turn to page 184. We stand as we begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant to us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God invites us now to enter into worship with him. We do that with the words of Psalm 34, verses 12 through 22. We read them together. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Father, you are without beginning and without end, the Lord of all generations. Guide us that we might number our days and apply our hearts to eternal wisdom. By your word and spirit, increase our faith. Help us to make godly choices and ever strive for holiness of living, that we may faithfully serve you and finally come to the joys of heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord, your Son, now and forever, together with the Holy Spirit. We'll listen to God's word this day, first of all, from the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Proverbs was a book in the Old Testament that wasn't so much written by one man, but was a collection of sayings of the Old Testament times that applied to God and that were written down, probably by King Solomon and collected by him. We read about wisdom in the very first chapters, and especially in Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesian Christians. And in Ephesians chapter 5, he writes to us and begins to write to the Ephesian Christians as well as to us about walking in love and the life of a Christian. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the anger of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. It is shameful even to speak of things the evil do in secret. When anything is exposed by light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, the word of God says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, always giving thanks for everything to God the Father, who in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ submits to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand for the reading of our gospel lesson. Gospel is from John chapter 6, beginning at verse 51. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread I give for the life of the world is my own flesh. The Jews disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, truly, truly I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in me. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. My flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said, "Do you take offense at this? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before?" And this is the gospel of our Lord. Together we confess our faith, we use the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
We bow our heads for prayer. Lord God, give us wisdom, true wisdom that trusts and relies on your word for strength and Jesus for life. Help us find this wisdom in living as your children and believing that you have done all things for our eternal joy. Amen. A proverb is a saying that is filled with meaning for those who would hear and listen and understand. In God's word, there are a whole block of proverbs collected from the Old Testament days and this morning. I'd like to think about the Old Testament proverb in Proverbs chapter 9, especially the very first six verses of Proverbs chapter 9 that we just heard. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come in here." She says to those who lack judgment, "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you will live. Walk in the ways of understanding." Every once in a while, I see one of those quizzes to find out how intelligent you are. I don't know if you've ever tried to take one of those. There's a couple different kinds, really. One tests your knowledge of things. I took a test. I grew up in the 1960s and the 70s as a kid, and I took a test on my knowledge of the 1960s. I got 96 out of 100 right. I showed them to my kids. They didn't know any of them. Did that make me intelligent just because I knew that the Partridge Family was on a lunchbox? I'm not sure that makes me intelligent. Then there's the real kinds of IQ tests or intelligent tests that really test your problem-solving abilities. They put a problem out there and you have to think through it and solve the problem. Those are a little more difficult. Those are a little more time-consuming. I take those sometimes and I find out I'm not as smart as I thought I was. Or they seem to be very difficult and I give up because it's not really accomplishing anything and I go on and do other things. When we talk about wisdom, sometimes we equate that with intelligence, as if being a wise person means having a high IQ or knowing a lot of things. And that's a wise person. But I'm going to tell you today that when the Bible talks about wisdom, it's not really talking about your level of IQ or problem-solving abilities or how much you actually know. It's talking about something else. Think about what it says, first of all, in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. Now, I'll tell you that when it translates that way here into English from the Hebrew Old Testament, the word wisdom is a feminine word. And like a lot of languages, when it has a feminine type of noun, then it says she. So in one sense, it attaches wisdom to a female, but it's more important to know that it makes wisdom out to be a person, as if wisdom is some kind of person. Wisdom builds her house. Wisdom prepares a meal. Wisdom goes out and tries to get people to come to her meal. What does it mean when it talks about wisdom being a person? Jesus told stories about wisdom too. Jesus talked about a wise man builds his house on a rock, and a foolish man builds his house on the sand. I'm going to talk about that in Bible class today. If you come, we'll talk a little bit more about wisdom and what that parable or what that example Jesus used mean. As if wisdom was actually doing something. It wasn't just something that was in someone's head or a quality a person had, that wisdom was actually a person. Jesus told another story about some women who went out and were preparing for a wedding. Some of them got ready and put oil in their lamps in case the night got long and the bridegroom was slow in coming. And the others didn't prepare ahead, and because it took a long time, their lamps burned out and they weren't ready for the bridegroom to come. In the Old Testament, wisdom is compared to many things, but normally wisdom is talked about as if it's a person. It's very interesting to read through the Old Testament. When it comes to wisdom, it talks about wisdom being a person. And here in Proverbs, it says, wisdom has built her house. It's interesting that it says she has carved out seven pillars for this house. It's implying that the house probably only needed three pillars. But wisdom wanted to put in extra pillars so the house wouldn't fall. I lived in a house in Minnesota for many years, a house that I owned. It was a 100-year-old farmhouse, built like a fortress. But some of the beams, the wooden beams in the basement, had rotted out underneath. And so what did they do? You guys all know what they did. They got those metal pillars or metal posts that they put in and cranked them up. And every once in a while, when I first owned the house, I had to go down and replace them because then the metal pillars started rusting out on the bottom because it was very humid in that old basement. Wisdom carved out seven pillars. It made sure that the house was going to stand on this foundation, that if one of the pillars fell, it would have far more pillars than it needed to hold the house up. And wisdom then has gone out and prepared a feast of all kind of things. When I read this and read about how much she made for the people who came because they didn't want to run out, I always think of every single lady's aide I've ever known. I spent 28 years as a pastor in Minnesota at two different parishes. At every meal, my ladies would fret and moan that they'd run out of food. And they always had twice as much as they needed. So one day, I'll just tell you a story about one day, they said, we're going to have a funeral. How many people are going to be there? I figured there'd be about 100, so I told them 50. And they had exactly the right amount. And they all went to the doctor the next week with heart problems. I'm telling you, I told them, it's okay. That's exactly what we want to do. We don't want to take all kind of leftovers. They said, if you ever do that again, Pastor, you're out of here. Wisdom prepares plenty of food. And if that's true, my wife is full of wisdom because whenever we have guests over, she makes 10 times more food than she has to. But being wise means being prepared. And that's two of the points that the Old Testament makes about wisdom. And I just want to talk briefly about those two points. One of them is that you are prepared. Wisdom prepares ahead. Wisdom looks ahead. It's like the farmer who's preparing for the planting season or the harvest season. They don't start checking their machinery over 5 minutes before the harvest is about to happen. A wise farmer is always working on his machinery and getting it ready so that everything is working and everything is ready by the time the harvest comes. And as I pointed out to every farmer I've ever known, they still break down. A wise woman prepares for her winter. Tell a little story about the first congregation I was at in Minnesota. It had a long history. And it was one of the earliest churches in that area of Minnesota. And they had some detailed histories of the first days that they came there. These settlers had lived in Illinois. And they had lots of children back then, in case you didn't know. In the 1800s, they'd have 10, 15, 20 kids. And pretty soon there wasn't enough land and work in that particular community for everybody to work. And they heard that up in the Minnesota area, the western lands, if you went up there and settled and you lived there for 5 years, you could have the land you lived on. Sounded like a good deal to them. So a whole bunch of them in a community traveled up to this area of Minnesota and they settled along a beautiful lake. And in the histories, it says they asked each other, wow, we're so lucky. Why isn't anyone living here? And they built the same sod houses that they had in Illinois, and they did all the same things they had to get ready for winter. And winter came. And about half of those people died that winter. And they found out why nobody lived in this area. It was 25 below. There were blizzards, screeching blizzards that went on for days. And they were ill prepared to live in those sod houses. But those people stuck it out, and they went through the winter. And the histories say that the next winter, they got ready. They understood what they were up against. I can't imagine what a tough bunch of people they were. But they had to bury many of their loved ones and many of their children because of that winter, and they still stuck it out because they believed they were going to live there and form a community. And the next winter, they got ready. They knew that they had to do a lot more preparation. First mark of wisdom is being prepared, being ready. Are you prepared? Do you prepare yourself for this week? In a sense, you are. Right now, you're in church being prepared for the week to come, being given a promise from God that he's going to be with you, being fed on Jesus' flesh and blood so that he becomes part of your life and you take him with you, and he prepares you for this week. I can't imagine not preparing for my week this way, because this is the way I always prepare for my week, worshiping with a Christian family. But there's a lot of people who don't prepare that way. And sometimes we come to church and we don't really appreciate how much God prepares us for the week to come. He gives us everything we need for this week. He gives us our daily bread each and every day. We pray for that, we receive it, and we should leave here really, really excited that God has prepared us for all the challenges of the week to come. And that's the second thing about wisdom. Wisdom takes advantage of opportunities. When it sees an opportunity, it takes it. It doesn't miss it. The Bible talks about wisdom understanding every time we have a chance to walk as children of the light, as Paul says. If you notice in that epistle lesson, he says, be wise, walk as children of the light. See every opportunity you have and take advantage of it to serve God and to serve each other. I'm guessing that every day I have 100 opportunities that I miss, either because I'm not paying attention or I don't care so much or I have an excuse. But every single day we have opportunities. Someone once said, if we're really, really wise people, we'll take advantage of one of every 50 opportunities we have. I hope I take advantage of one of every 50 opportunities I have, but I'm afraid that as God looks back on my week and he's placed opportunities in my path, I've missed a lot of them because I'm not so wise, because I'm a sinner who falls short of the glory of God. Too often I miss these two components of wisdom, and I have to confess that I'm not always very wise. I'm not always prepared. I'm not always ready. I don't always care about being ready. And I miss a lot of opportunities. So am I a wise person? Are you a wise person? Well, in the end, Jesus wants us to know something as he points us back to his word. Because if you remember, wisdom is always spoken about as if it is a person. And in the Old Testament, it's pointing ahead to the wisest person in the world. And it's not King Solomon, and it's not the winner of Jeopardy, or someone who passes an IQ test. Wisdom is Jesus Christ. He is wisdom. And unless Jesus lives in me, unless Jesus is in me and with me at all times, covering my life, covering my missed opportunities, covering the times that I'm not prepared, then I'm not wise at all, because wisdom has to live in me. But thanks be to God, I can say that I am not a foolish man, I'm a wise man. And as Martin Luther said, it's not because of my own reason or strength. Any of you who took any kind of confirmation class knows that the meaning to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, which talks about the Holy Spirit, starts out, I cannot believe by my own reason or strength. I can't believe because I'm so smart or so strong or so capable. My faith has nothing to do with my own wisdom. It has to do with the wisdom of God. It has to do with the fact that God is wisdom. Jesus spent our entire existence preparing for us to be in heaven with him. From the beginning of creation and the fall of Adam and Eve, Jesus, together with his Father and the Holy Spirit, was getting prepared to save our life, to forgive our sins. He didn't miss any opportunity to do anything for anyone, even me. Jesus is wisdom. He is perfect wisdom. And Jesus lives in me, and Jesus is part of my life because I eat his flesh and I drink his blood and I believe his word. Not because I'm so smart or wise, but because the Holy Spirit has enabled me to do that by the power of his word and his sacraments. He prepares me for my life every day. And even if I fail, the wisdom of God that is in me continues to make me an eternal son of God. My wisdom depends on Jesus Christ. And if people ask me if I'm a wise man, I say, yes, I am. But it's not because of my own reason or strength. It's not because I'm so smart. It's not because I'm prepared for every opportunity. And it's not because I'm ready for everything that comes my way. It's because Jesus Christ gives me that wisdom. He gives it to me freely. He pours it out on me. He does it today in his word. He gives me a promise that he is going to be with me. He calls me in this Old Testament lesson. I hear him calling me say, you who are simple, you who need wisdom, come to me and I'll give you everything you need. I'll give you twice as much food as you need and I'll put you in a home that will never fall down because it has seven pillars. He's calling me to believe him today. He's calling me to my home in heaven. And he's preparing me today for a week of wisdom so that I will be prepared for this week for every opportunity he puts in front of me. We thank God that he is our wisdom and that we have what God wants us to have and what Jesus promised we would have, eternal life with him that starts today, that goes on beyond our death, and forever in heaven we will enjoy the great feast of God in his kingdom, which has no end. Amen. We stand. May the peace that passes our human understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we receive our offerings as we sing hymn number 789. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of wisdom, for sending Jesus Christ into our world, your Son, our God who became a human life, who was perfect wisdom, who was always prepared and took advantage of every opportunity, especially the opportunity to go to a cross and pay for my sins and buy my life back from the dead. Give us that wisdom which comes down from above, that we might be fervent saints in your kingdom, that we might see our opportunities and always be prepared this week to share your life and your love in all that we say and do. We especially ask you to be with all those who are going back to schools, to grade schools, high schools, colleges, and universities. Continue to be with students as they learn and as they become wise not only in subjects, but wise in your ways, that they might see that their vocation is to declare you in whatever you say and do. We thank you for being with the family of Darren Woodall as he has gone through these times of sickness and now as he has been called into your eternal home. Continue to be with the family and remind them that the wisdom that comes down from above has given him eternal life, and he now lives with you forever because of Jesus Christ, his God and his Savior. Bless the family as they go through this time and as they celebrate his life together with their friends and their community. Continue to be with all of us as we remember loved ones who have gone before us, and remind us that we are part of the saints forever, and that death and life does not separate us from you, but the wisdom of Jesus Christ has connected us with you forever. Continue to be with all who are in our thoughts and prayers, who are going through difficulties of any kind, and bless us now as we present ourselves at your altar to eat the flesh of Jesus Christ and to drink his blood and his wisdom to become part of our lives as we are prepared for this week to do whatever you have in need for us. We thank you for this, and we come to your altar in great thanksgiving. Amen. And we continue our worship with the service of the sacrament on page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and proper that we should at all times and in all places come to you, O Lord, holy, almighty, everlasting God and Father, that because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, we have the wisdom that comes down from above. Continue to be with us as we celebrate this meal together with the saints, with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, evermore praising you and saying, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.